This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Is the African Continental Free Trade Area a pipe dream for spurring growth, not only for South Africa, but for the African continent? It entered into force on Sunday, and it's a laudable development. It builds on existing initiatives for regional integration, and it does lay the groundwork for more. At the same time, however, AFTCA, that's a horrible acronym, has strong political backing, but the excitement surrounding its rapid progress has led to some claims of its potential benefits perhaps going unchallenged, particularly surrounding intra-African trade and its potential for us here in South Africa. Most commentators appear reluctant to interrogate publicly a very popular Pan-African project, even when the analysis might be constructive. Not so Sean Hagedorn, who's our independent strategy advisor, coming to us from Cape Town. Evening, Sean.
Hi, Michael.
Now, it's a problem because one gets a misleading impression to think that the African Continental Free Trade Area is going to be some sort of panacea for South Africa, as we see tariff barriers going up all around the world. We're lowering them here in Africa. And the figure that I've seen is that it's going to lead to a 52% increase in intra-African trade by 2022, which sounds attractive. What do you make of the African Continental Free Trade Area and its potential to spur growth, export-led growth for South Africa?
I mean, I'm not against it, but the second part of your question about the potential, potential is very limited. And the thing that people should really focus on is the amount of access to purchasing power. I mean, one way of looking at that is who's supposed to be running trade surpluses and who's supposed to be running trade deficits. If you're trading with wealthy countries, they can run trade deficits for a long time and you can drive a lot of economic growth. And that really isn't true across sub-Saharan Africa.
That is the problem here. We're not exporting into cash-flush markets with rich consumers and cash-flush sovereigns that can run those deficits. In fact, it's quite the opposite. In your analysis, just to briefly outline how poverty alleviation is tied to global trade.
Right. So the easiest way to look at it by far is the Asian growth miracle, which is potentially the most amazing thing that humans have ever pulled off. The amount of poverty alleviation across Asia in the last 30 years is amazing. And people tend to look at that, illogically, in focusing on the industrialization factor. But that's very secondary. The real key thing was the ability of poor people in Asia to add value to products, mostly to some services, that were then sold to wealthy people in other parts of the world. And the reason that's so key is that you cannot grow a poor economy rapidly selling to itself, because you can't surge both sales and savings. But if you're exporting, particularly value-added goods and services, you can grow at almost an unlimited rate, and you can still maintain savings at home. And that's really the key to the Asian miracle, which isn't really going to happen through trade across African borders.
Yeah, and if we look at South Africa in particular, we're discussing with Adrian Saville on the show last night how our savings rate at the consumer level, not at the government or the business level, is a big fat zero, a donut. And if we were to encourage savings, and savings do lead to higher growth, then you can't at the same time also be encouraging a massive amount of consumption. So it's logical, therefore, Sean, that you've got to be selling your projects and products and services into other markets that can afford to purchase those and don't have to worry about the dis-saving that will create. This also happens at a time when globally, we're seeing a shift, though. We're seeing the US, which has been able to consistently run these huge trade deficits, and thanks to its currency being the world's reserve currency, it can sort of print its way out of its bind. But we have President Donald Trump saying that he doesn't like this fact anymore. So the global rules of the game are shifting to some extent. Doesn't this therefore present an opportunity for South Africa to start exporting into other markets as the U.S. Starts to raise its own tariff barriers?
Well, absolutely. It's a shame we're not better positioned that way. But certainly the future should be all about South Africa acting as a gateway. And the path that we've been on, there's a few flaws with it. You know, one is there's been way too much emphasis on looking internally and backwards and into industrialization, where the global economy is really changing rapidly. And then the other thing that sits below everything that people are just now beginning to talk about is how there is the youth population in all of the wealthy and emerging economies are contracting. And so that's creating a lack of growth in final demand. And really, if South Africa were to be clever, because South Africa's demographics are healthy, there really are win-win paths. But we're really nowhere near going down that path at the moment.
When it comes to Africa's potential, as you said, you're not against the African Continental Free Trade Area. But is that potential overstated? What is Africa's potential as a target market?
Right. So the numbers are something like the Africa's economy is about $2.5 trillion or thereabout, and there's about 1.3 billion people. And so the first thing you have to say is that for any person needs about $1,000 worth of income just to rise above subsistence. That's about 50 rand a day, which is often used here as a measure. Well, that wipes out more than half of the income across Africa. So the ability to leverage a lot of trade and to justify the building of the roads, and you actually just start running the numbers, it doesn't work very well. Whereas if you shift the focus to African economies working like Asian economies did, where products move across borders and then ultimately are sold to affluent markets far away, you get a lot more momentum.
It is about value chains. I was chatting to Professor Brian Armstrong, who is the chair of the WITS Business School's digital faculty, and he reckons in this new world, this new future of technology-induced innovation, we as a country need to start identifying global supply chains that we could then play in to export into the rest of the world and not just focus on Africa. Would you go along with that?
Oh, 1,000%. And just another way of saying something similar is the focus shouldn't be working on focused on developing selling channels where you build a product here from soup to nuts, so to speak, and then try to find buyers. It's much more efficient, particularly as a country is achieving high growth, to focus on integrating into already established selling chains. And the shift to an increasingly digital-dominated economy, removes a lot of the distance barriers, and suddenly there's a lot more market access. And people who are considered poorly educated and are considered low-skilled can oftentimes add creative elements, which can be very well received, demand market premiums overseas where they never would locally.
Sean Hagedorn, independent strategy advisor with a different take on the African Continental Free Trade Area, certainly not one of pessimism or doubt, but adding a bit of a rational perspective on whether or not it's the panacea that many have touted it to be. You're listening to Classic Business.